Sarah.
Now, lithium-ion batteries are an essential part of most of our everyday lives. They're in our mobile phones, our iPods and our laptops, and they can be used for hybrid or electric cars and for storage of electricity from renewables like wind turbines. For each different job, you're looking at different properties, whether it's fast charging time, efficiency, safety or cost. At the moment, there's a trade-off between these properties, but nanotechnology could offer a solution. Professor Claire Gray from the University of Cambridge is looking at how.
A battery comprises three main components. You have an anode and a cathode, or otherwise known as a positive or negative electrodes, and they're separated by an electrolyte, which in most lithium-ion batteries is organic solvent with a lithium salt that allows the lithiums to shuttle backwards and forwards. Now, if I want to charge a battery very quickly, that means I have to get the lithiums and the electrons in and out of my particles in the electrodes. And so your commercial standard battery material in the cathode is lithium cobalt oxide. And that's a material that's many microns in size. And so when I charge the battery, I've got to pull the lithiums out of this micron-sized material. And that takes a long time. And that's why it takes you a long time to charge your battery for your cell phone or your laptop. But if I could make the particles smaller, then I would be able to do this much more quickly and get a much higher rate material.
Nanostructures would seem to be the ideal candidates for this task, as their small size and large surface area would allow for quicker reactions, leading to quicker charging times. But it's not all plain sailing.
There's some very good things about nano, but there are also some disadvantages. And one of the major disadvantages is the surface areas. And so if you have high surface area, you have a higher potential for side reactions with the electrolyte. And most nanomaterials and battery materials are not actually stable in the organic electrolyte you use in your batteries. And what happens is, as you're cycling material, they form a passivating layer, a coating of inorganics and organics on the surfaces of the materials that protect the material from further attack by the electrolyte. But now if you imagine you nanosize, you have a massive surface area. And so that whole decomposition to form this passivating layer eats up lithium. And you have a finite amount of lithium in your cell. So the more you eat up, the less you have to use in your battery application. Another disadvantage with nanoparticles, because you can have so many side reactions, if you have too many side reactions, the system can heat up. Once the system starts heating up, many metastable materials can release oxygen. It's the oxygen that then reacts with the organic electrolyte. And at higher temperatures, that electrolyte can catch fire. And it's that electrolyte burning that you see in many photos on the web of batteries exploding. And so if you examine the pros and cons of nano, it's clear that nanomaterials and nanostructured materials allow you to get your lithiums and electrons in very rapidly. And so that's going to be a massive advantage when you want high rate systems. But it's going to be a disadvantage if you're looking at safety. I think there are some solutions that will allow us to use nanostructures, but it's a very, very important design criteria that we need to build safety into our design.
And Professor Gray's work is helping to examine exactly what those solutions to the problems with the use of nanostructures in batteries might be.
We're very interested in working out the fundamentals by which battery materials function. So how do the lithiums come in and out of the materials? And we do that because if we understand how they function, we can use that to design better materials, and we can also use that to understand why sometimes they don't work. So what we've done recently that we're very excited by is we've developed a setup whereby we can make little batteries that are about the same size as hearing aid batteries, and we connect them up to a potentiostat, and that potentiostat is just like a battery charger you might have at home, except it's a little bit smaller and a bit more accurate. And then we make use of the fact that lithium have nuclear spin that you can see in an NMR spectrometer. And so that allows us to see where the lithiums are going as we charge the batteries. The exciting thing for us is that we can see functioning in real time of all the different components. And we can work out what each component is doing and how each component is influenced by things like charging fast. So when you're wanting to charge your battery for transportation applications, or if you're using a hybrid electric vehicle and you put your foot on a brake, that requires an extremely rapid charge, and that puts tremendous demands on your batteries. And that often in itself encourages the formation of side products that then may have negative consequences on how the battery then functions. And the bottom line is we can see this in real time, and we can try and devise strategies to prevent that happening. So we're looking at function and structure and then trying to use that to then design newer systems or improve systems that both last longer and are more safe.
And if you've ever seen a battery self-ignite, I'm sure you'll agree that safety is paramount. That was Claire Gray from the Department of Chemistry at Cambridge University.
Laying the facts bare.
I say.
The Naked Scientists.
This is The Naked Scientists with Chris Smith and Sarah Castor-Perry.
If you want to get in touch on Twitter, it's @NakedScientists, or send us an email, chris@thenakedscientists.com.